What it is, what up? Welcome to Last Show Podcast. This is Courtney Shane Williams, your host, the Maestro. On this show, talk a lot about football.
Talk to me.
Should kids be playing? I pose that question to you. Also, what is it worth being a friend with a friend that has connection? Is it worth $15 million? LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, they're on deck. Also talk about Kim Davis meeting Pope and some other stuff. Enjoy the show. Thank you for listening to the Last Show Podcast. It's called The Last Show, and this may be it. What a time.
I know we just signed the deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah. I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team.
Welcome to the Last Show Podcast. To you and yours, happy holidays. I don't even know. It's not even the holiday season. I feel like hitting you with a happy holiday. Thank you for listening to the Last Show. I am your host, Courtney Shane Williams. Stand-up comedian based out of Seattle, Washington. So this is the show. Big rings in the background from the Drake Future album. I guess it's been out for maybe even like 2-3 weeks now. It's pretty fire. It has some stuff on there. What a time to be alive. The name of the album. Check it out. I actually checked it out on Spotify. I think I've discussed before on the podcast. I don't have a paid account. I mean, because one of two things you can have. You can either have my money or my dignity. You know, and I'm not paying for an account unless I can get everything I want. Like, I don't want to hear any of your advertising if I have to pay a single dollar. I don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to look at your advertising. I don't want your advertising to exist. I want it to be like when I load up my iTunes. I can just play what I want to play. Not the case with Spotify. Sometimes you skip songs, and even if you have a paid account, there's only so many songs I think you can skip at some point in time. And you got to wait for certain albums to come out. Like, if I'm paying for your account, the day the album come out, I need to access the album immediately. If you can't get the album to me immediately, then I'll listen to 10 seconds of advertising to listen to, you know, the Drake Future album that will probably never make it on my iPod. But that's my stance. Either my money or my dignity. One or the other. But yeah, cop that album, man. Go check it out. It's got some bump on it. So that's that. You know where I want to start? And normally it's usually like some type of pop culture show to lure people in that aren't familiar with my work. We're going right to sports. But this is not even a sports story. It's a relationship, you know, type story. So for you guys that don't know, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. So that's Browns, Indians, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, along with Ohio State football and basketball, and that's about it. Like, I don't follow the Ohio State golf team. I have no idea how many titles they have. Nah, don't really care. Those are the teams I follow. So, a little bit of backstory. Cleveland doesn't win anything in sports. Like, since, you know, I've been alive, they haven't won anything. I think the last time they won a title was like 1946. Something crazy like that. Like, they just never win. They won, I get, world championships in football. This is before there was a Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. Once upon a time, there was no Super Bowl. Like, there was no Super Bowl, and like, Cleveland Browns won like four of them. They won four world championships, but they never won a Super Bowl. I think they won a World Series a long time ago before like black people could play. Like, it was just, you know, Babe Ruth versus, you know, who's a pitcher? Sandy Koufax. I don't know. Sandy Koufax is not even that old. But it was like Babe Ruth versus Babe Ruth, basically. That's when they won. And in basketball, they'd never won a thing. I don't even have to think about that long. They have never won a thing. And basketball happens to be my favorite sports. Now, the most powerful person probably in American sports, outside of Floyd Mayweather, is LeBron James. LeBron James is the most powerful person, and he is the most powerful person in the state of Ohio, where he is from, right outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and he plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. when LeBron left the city, it shut down. Now, I don't understand how to explain this to certain people. When people ask, you know, or not even ask, or LeBron James comes up in conversation because I'm a Cavs fan, and they ask me, hey, how do you feel? It's a weird relationship because, like if you live in Seattle, most people that listen to the podcast live in Seattle, like, imagine, like, Amazon. That's what LeBron James is. Times, like, four inside the city of Cleveland. So, like, imagine if Amazon owned the Seattle Sonics and was also the point guard for this Seattle Sonics and was the best player in the league. In addition to that, they had so much power, Amazon would be able to hire and fire all the personnel related to the team up into, but not including, the owner with a single word. Also, LeBron is part of his best friend is a part of a sports agency that represents other players in the NBA. So not only does LeBron control the Cavaliers, but he also, through his agent, who's his best friend from high school, controls other players on other teams inside of the same league. Also owns a branding company who represents Johnny Manziel and some other athletes. In addition, his agent, who controls other players on other teams, also is his personal agent, best friend, and is also the agent for Tristan Thompson, who is on the Cavaliers as well. So there's two players on the Cavaliers, including LeBron James, that is represented by the same agent who also happens to be LeBron's best friend from high school, Maverick Carter. You caught up? Here we go. Tristan Thompson's not a very good basketball player. He's a decent basketball player. Like, he's Michael Cage. Like, everybody, like that's what he is. You know what I mean? He's like a Bill Cartwright. Like, he's just okay. But because he's represented by LeBron's guy, and in the NBA, they have a salary cap. So there's only so much you can pay LeBron. So even though LeBron makes the most that you can possibly make, he still makes, like, just as much as Carmelo Anthony, who never wins anything, who doesn't have the impact of LeBron James. He still makes the same amount of money as Chris Bosh, who isn't anything, doesn't do what LeBron James does. He makes the same as James Harden and Kevin Durant and all these other players because there is a salary cap. So LeBron James, instead of getting paid in money, because he's with the Cavaliers, runs the city of Ohio, has an agent who runs two clients on the team and can hire and fire everybody up into the owner, takes his payment in power. Exactly. He basically can negotiate any other contract for another player on the team to get overpaid. Insert Tristan Thompson. An average player, Michael Cage, a.k.a. Bill Cartwright, a.k.a., you know, 8 points, eight rebounds. This is what he averages. Not a significant player. So, that's the backstory. Get you caught up on the story. So now there's a contract negotiation, and Tristan Thompson wants $90 million. $90 million. A few of the names off the top of my head to make $90 million. John Wall of the Washington Wizards, makes $90 million. Kyrie Irving makes $90 million. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers is in the $90 million. Blake Griffin from the LA Clippers, he's up in 90. DeAndre Jordan of the Clippers. And you're probably thinking, what do all these people have in common that Tristan Thompson done? They're all-stars. They're all-star caliber players, along with Kevin Love. So, there's that. It got me thinking, how much does it really pay to be friends with LeBron? And it's not even LeBron. You can insert any name here. Like, how much does it really pay to be friends with a dude that just has connections? Like, should it be, you know, a point in time when, like, you know, enough is enough? Like, if I want you, do I really have to hang out with your friends? Like, you ever have, like, a cool guy you know, but all their friends is just no redeemable qualities whatsoever? Like, I'd never let this person in my house if I didn't think he was cool. I never forget, I went to a fight party. I think it was actually, crazy enough, it was Floyd Mayweather was fighting. The aforementioned Floyd Mayweather. I think it was Floyd Mayweather, De La Hoya. I think it was De La Hoya Floyd Mayweather. So I went to this fight party with this guy I used to work with when I lived in Florida. And I'll never forget, I brought my buddy, who's one of my friends. Now, my buddy Tim, we don't even talk, you know, anymore. Tim, like, has, like, a bunch of kids and a family, still lives in Florida. We don't talk that much anymore. But my buddy Tim is a habitual line stepper. Habitual line stepper. One of my funniest things is, like, when we used to hang out, you know, when we were in college, we would work out together. And then we would, like, hang out on the weekend and we would, like, go to the clubs. And, like, this dude, like half a drink, and this dude would just get loose with it. Like, it was the greatest thing. Never, like, fights, but he just get loose. You know what I mean? So I remember he would always, when we go to the club, like, you know, he get, you know, half a drink in him. And then he'd start trying to talk to women. And, like, he'd say, like, one line, and they just walk off. They would just walk away. And at the end of the night, we'd be walking back, and I'd be like, yo, you know, to the car, or, you know, get something to eat or whatever. And I was like, hey, man, you know, how'd it go? And, like, I knew how it went. I was at the same club he was at. Like, I knew. Like, nothing happened. And he would always say, man, these girls, they be out here hating on me, dog. They be hating on me, like, every time. Habitual line stepper, Tim. Man, they be hating on me. I remember there was this girl that was, like, a finalist in American Idol from St. Petersburg, which is right outside of Tampa. And it was all hanging out at the club, and she happened to be at the club. Real small girl. I don't even remember what her name is now. But I was there, and of course, like, they was playing, like, Scarface in the background at this club with the volume down. So I'm watching Scarface. That's what I'm doing. And then I hear a buzz, and the Florida buzz of somebody's in the building is unlike any other, like, buzz. Like, it's the same buzz you get when, like, Hulk Hogan shows up at WrestleMania. Like, it's that kind of buzz. It's the buzz of, hey, it might pop off. Like, that's the buzz. You know, it's also the buzz of, hey, let me see if I can get a free drink. Like, it's the buzz. Like a bottle service at a nightclub. You know, you walk over to the table. Oh, they got a bottle. Oh, let me see if I know somebody at that table so I can hit up off that bottle. Next thing you know, a swarm of people start forming around you like locusts, you know, during the revelation. You know, so girl walks in, St. Petersburg. I'm watching Scarface. I start to hear a buzz. I look over. Tim has stepped into the VIP section, and he's not VIP. Bouncer snatches him up, throws him out of the VIP, and then I meet him up with him. I'm like, yo, what happened? He's like, man, they was hating on me, dog. They was hating on me. I'm like, yo, dude, you was in the VIP. You're not supposed to be in the VIP. So Tim is a habitual line stepper. Remember one time, me, Tim, and my brother go out. And my brother, Kyle, I was like, yo, dude, watch Tim. I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. We're going to go out. He's going to get half a drink in him. He's going to start getting loose with it. He may try to talk to some girls or whatever. But at the end of the night, he ain't going to get no hits. He ain't going to get no numbers. And on our way back, he's going to say somebody was hating on him. He's like, oh, okay. So, boom. Everything happens on cue. We walk in. Half a drink, he starts dancing, lose track of him, meet up with him at the end of the night, lonely, coming back, nobody with him. And I say, hey, Kyle, ask him how it was. And my brother said, hey, yo, dude, it was popping in there, man. How was it? Man, they was hating on me. And then we start laughing. So now his name is hating on me. That's the only way we refer to Tim. So I remember there was a fight party. It was Floyd Mayweather, De La Hoya. And so we go to this fight party, and there was this guy that I went to, I worked with. And he was getting a fight, and I used to watch all the fights with my dad, actually. Like, my dad got me into boxing, but for some reason, I didn't watch this fight with my dad. I don't know exactly why. But we go over to his house, and his name was Wayne. And Wayne had birds. Wayne had those expensive birds that can, like, talk to you. So, like, at one point, like, we're laughing and joking. I start laughing. Then I hear a bird start laughing. I'm like, hey, is your bird laughing? He's like, yeah, yeah. He laughs. I'm like, what? Bird has a sense of humor. No clue. So, we sit down and, the fight starts coming on. The fight before the fight. Like, we, you know what I mean? The one, you're not really watching. Like, you're still waiting. And I'm sitting down on the couch, and Wayne comes over to me and kind of whispers in my ear, like, but he has this look on his face like, yo, dude, like, we got something to talk about. You know what I mean? Honestly, like I'm like Sonny Corleone. Like, this look, like, I got to go meet the Don. I'm like, oh, what's going on? He's like, dude, you need to come in the kitchen, man. So we walk in the kitchen, and I'm like looking to see, you know, who's behind the corner about to snatch me up. And he looks. He's like, yo, look at your boy, man. I look over. Tim has his foot on this dude's table with no shoes on, just feet on the man's table. I'm like, oh, my gosh, dude. So I walk up. I'm like, yo, get your foot off the man's table, dude. You're going to get me hemmed up. This look has me thinking, what is a friend really worth? Honestly, what is the relationship with LeBron James really worth? I mean, what happens? Because even though somebody like Tim, we might roll together and they don't know Tim, but they roll with Tim on behalf of me. Actually ended up buying that dude a bottle of Patron, you know, just to make things cool. You know, I just bought him a bottle. I'm like, yo, dude, just yeah. I'm sorry about the feet on your table. Hopefully, you know, you can get it clean. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't eat off that table if I were you. But what is a friend really worth? Especially when it's being overvalued. Like, Tristan Thompson, LeBron, Tristan Thompson's just a dude. And at this point, like, they had all summer to work on a contract. Tristan Thompson never traded his demands, changed his demands of $90 million, which is the most he could make. And the Cavs are willing to pay him $80 million. Actually, he wants $95. There's $15 million over the course of 5 years we're talking about. That's what he's talking about. I'm talking about $3 million a year. That's the difference in these kind, and he won't come down $3 million. Why? Because he's friends with LeBron. It's habitual line stepping going on, and he ain't even got a line to step. It makes you think, is it worth paying $15 million to this dude? For what? What? They had all summer to work on it. Still no contract. On top of that, Tristan Thompson, he don't even play. You know, it's like a friend that you roll with. Like, they bring nothing to the table, you know, besides some giggles. I mean, you always need that, or just he gives good dap. You know what I mean? He knows how to dap up the crowd. Like, just no connections at all. When you come out, I got to make all the connections, and you don't want to pay for drinks, and you don't want to do nothing, and you just want to sit. But you're fun. I mean, you're fun to hang out with. How much is it really worth, though? Now, there's a holdout with Tristan Thompson and the Cavaliers. And now Tristan Thompson, he's just not going to work. Like, he just stopped going to work. Like, Tristan Thompson ain't been to work since the NBA Finals. And that was in June. Like, he just ain't no workout. He just ain't going to go to work. It's a full holdout situation. While he can't negotiate with any other team but the Cavaliers. So if he wants to play, the only team he can play for is the Cavaliers. They offer $80 million. He wants $95 million. Because he can't get $95, he just ain't going to go to work. Which is fine. Like, I'm not digging in nobody's pocket. It's really not about the money. I'm not digging in nobody's pocket. I just wonder, what's the end game, Spence? What's the end game? Like, you can't go to any other team. So what's the end game? It's similar to when Cam Chancellor with the Seattle Seahawks. The only difference is Cam Chancellor is good. And football contracts aren't guaranteed. So Cam Chancellor may sign a $90 million contract and only get $2 million or $1 million. So I understand the holdout in football. Also, that sport literally ends your life sooner than any other sport outside of boxing. It will end your life. So I understand the holdout in football, especially when you have leverage because you're good. Tristan Thompson's not a very good player. So what is he worth? I don't know. Right now, he ain't coming to work. I will say this, man. I talked to my grandmother who still lives in Cleveland and loves the Cavaliers. And we talked for probably about 30 minutes. And she was explaining to me or asking me what makes him think that he's worth $90 million. I'm like, hey, Grady, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I ain't got the answers, Sway. I was like, I ain't got the answer. She was like, I just don't understand why he thinks he's 90, whatever. I'm like, yo, it's LeBron's boy. That's why he thinks he's 90. The same reason Tim thought he could put his feet on that man's coffee table is the same reason Tristan Thompson thinks he's worth $95 million. It's like, I don't know. The end game, I'm not sure, because eventually you got to come to work, right? I mean, I'd love to just stop going to work, but eventually if you don't get paid, I mean, you got to go to work. Unless, you know, your best friend is LeBron or Jay-Z. I mean, Jay-Z told Memphis Bleek, you know, you're one hit away. Even if you're not one hit away, you know, as long as you're friends with me, you're a millionaire. Why? Jay-Z got you, man. So we'll see how that situation ends up fleshing out. But right now, that's where it is. A little more of a somber note. The other story I want to talk about is I watched a football game last night. I didn't pay attention to 100% of the game. But that was probably the most of a professional game I've watched all year. And every time I look in on professional football, like, the games aren't good. They're just not good. I don't know, maybe if it's this year or the lack of, I don't know. Like, defense, quarter, I don't know what it is. It's just not good. It's physical, though. Super physical. I mean, dudes are really hitting dudes. Dude, when that hit that Earl Thomas put on Calvin Johnson last night made me wince. And then they replayed it. Dude, I grabbed my foot. I wasn't even in the hit. Let me tell you something. Earl Thomas is the last dude I want hitting me. Every time he hits somebody, like, it looks like it hurts. I remember that's when he started when they was laying that meat on the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. Like, they just quit. Like, enough of this. Dude's crazy. He's out here hitting people. The hits got me thinking, though, especially, you know, and I've been thinking this probably for like the last 6-7 months. This particular stand overall, probably for the last 3-4 years, I've always thought football would be, it wouldn't be the number one sport. Like, I still think the number one sport in 5 years in America is going to be baseball. Again, baseball can't help but be the number one sport because a lot of kids play and a lot of kids, and they can already see the numbers now. Some leagues have started to shut down because they don't have enough kids to play. There's high schools that weren't able to play over the week because they don't have enough players to play a game because kids are starting to do other things. Which brings us to this point. I seen on ESPN, there was a story, and there's a kid in Seattle that he passed away, I believe, yesterday from football. Guess didn't get to the full story. Actually, I take that back. I got to the full story, but there was not a full story on ESPN, so I didn't go searching after the story. Because, I mean, that's like a snuff flick. Like, I don't want to hear about somebody dying and how they, you know what I mean? That's not my, it's just, I think there should be a decorum of privacy in general. I mean, I don't think it's none of your damn business, or excuse my language, Mom. I don't think it's none of your business what happens to anybody else's family as far as who's there, who's not there, who's passed away, not passed. It's none of my business. I don't know that they want their business in the street. I didn't look at the kid's name. I'm not interested in finding out any more about the kid's name or whatnot. What I do know is that he passed away from football 3 days after the injury occurred, and I assume in the hospital. And this is the second of these second kid that has died, high profile. I don't know anybody else in the nation. There was one in New Jersey, and this one was in Seattle. And obviously, you know, I live in Seattle, so maybe it feels a little bit different when you live here. And then they start quoting, like, Harborview Hospital, like, you know what the hospital is. So maybe it makes me feel different, which is a shame on me. You know, it should be the same for everybody. With that being said, and I've been struggling with this for a while because I love college football. Well, I take that back. I like watching college football because my college team is Ohio State and they're good. Like, if they were bad, I wouldn't watch. Like, I'm a Browns fan and I haven't watched a game all year. And I don't even feel bad about it. Like, I don't watch them because they stink. I'm not going to pay you when you stink. I watch you when you're good. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I follow the team.
but get good first. Then I want you. It's like, you know, no one's showing up in my comedy show open mics if I'm stinking to join up. They're like, hey, call me when you're good. I'm not gonna watch you when you're bad, especially and pay for it. Nah. So this kid passed away, and it had me thinking, dude. At this point, kids shouldn't play football. Period. Like, at all. Like, there should be no football. Like, if this is killing children, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Has the love of violence so overtaken American culture that we need kids to entertain us violently? I mean, that right? I mean, because no kid grows up just, oh, I just love. Now, some kids may be more aggressive than other kids, but no kid doesn't know what football is and just decides, oh, I want to put on pads and hit people. Like, they're introduced to it by someone that maybe they love the sport, maybe they didn't, maybe they just think they'd be good at doing the sport. But why are we doing that? You're not introducing kids to bullfighting. Like, why? Like, some things just barbaric. Like, it's a barbaric sport based on injury, period. People can argue, oh, they're not trying to injure other people. I watched the game last night. Every 5 minutes, someone's getting carted off because their foot just got turned the wrong way. And if you're a grown man and that's what you want to do for a living, that's fine. I mean, gladiators, this is a real thing. The way gladiators start is you were a prisoner and they put you out in front of these gladiators and they would kill you for sport. For sport. Pure entertainment. They would kill people. What happened was the gladiators started winning, and then there became a culture around the gladiators where people would start cheering for the people that were supposed to get killed for sport. Then people, instead of being prisoners, started volunteering to become gladiators so they could get that glory and that adoration from the fans. Exactly like football. Exactly. People volunteer to play football for the adoration, the money, or whatever it is, the course. But at this point, I just don't think kids should play. There just should be some kind of age limit. And I'm sure people out there will say, oh, well, you know, it's their decision. But honestly, how many decisions are you making at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old? Even in high school, 14, 15, like, how many decisions are you making? You can't drive a car, at least where I'm from. You can't drive a car until you're 18. Unless you have a job, and then you can drive to and from work, and even though kids probably break that rule, but you can't drive a car till you're 18. When I was a kid, you could drive a car with no one else in the car at 16. You could get your license at 15. Why'd they change it to 18? Because in Florida, kids were killing other kids. Kids were driving recklessly. There was car accidents. There was fatalities. So what'd we do? We changed the rules. So what's the harm in changing the rules in football? If you can change the rules because kids are being reckless in passing away in this aspect of life, why not change the rules over here? If you want, you can make it 18. You can make it 19. You know, senior year of high school. You want to play senior year? You can have a senior football team. That's it, you know? Other than that, you want to do a private league, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But it shouldn't be state-funded. Like, there shouldn't be, you know, schools shouldn't get money so I can buy you a football jersey and pads and helmets. And that shouldn't be the case. Because then when a tragedy like this one in Seattle hits, now, you know, I read part of the story, and now it's, you know, well, they suspended all the games this weekend. Well, thanks. Thanks for suspending the game because somebody's not here anymore. And then we'll figure out what we got to do with the rest of the season. So hold on. So if you would suspend the game now because someone's not here anymore and there was a tragic accident, an accident that, although very, very rare, is something that does happen. If you would suspend the games for that, why are you playing the games? I mean, is it just sure entertainment for the parents? Is it for the kids? I mean, if I'm on that team and that happens to my teammate, like, I'm done. I mean, are you suspending the games to talk the kids back into playing and showing how safe? We play heads-up football. You got to tackle with your chest. See, that's the problem. Tackling with your chest. Kids are leading with the head, and when they lead with the head, that causes head injuries. We're teaching kids how to tackle better. Dude, it's not about tackling better. It's a barbaric sport. And more specialized the sports get, the more training the sport gets, the more publicity the sport gets, the better the talent pool becomes. So maybe before 10, 15 years ago, kids in high school, maybe they weren't hitting as hard as they hit now. Maybe they weren't running as fast as they run now. But as sports medicine and technology gets better, people run faster, they jump higher, and they're going to hit kids harder. So, in my opinion, shouldn't be playing. Like, I'm done. And obviously, I still have a, you know, there's still a moral conundrum. Like, because now on Sunday, I still watch the games. So, I mean, who am I? Oh, well, you know, you kids shouldn't play. You know, now let me watch these games. Like there's still a moral conundrum. But I will not be watching any high school games. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, if. You know, college, that's even rationalizing because people aren't professionals, you know, in name. They're professional football players, yeah, but they're not getting paid to be professionals, you know, openly being paid. I mean, yeah, they get compensated with education. And at that point, you know, somebody in college, you know, you're in your 20s, 22, 23, 22. So you have a little better grasp on long-term ramifications, especially with all the information out now where I could rationalize it away, but I'm still watching Gladiators in the arena. I'm still one of the people, you know, that was screaming at Maximus that I was not entertained. You know, I'm still watching bullfighting. Like, I still am, you know. And for people, speaking of bullfighting, for all the people that, you know, a Michael Vick situation or Adrian Peterson situation, or that is so offended by the overly aggressive football player that may have hit his kid too hard, or definitely did hit his kid too hard, or the dude dogfighting. Like, what do you think you're watching on Sunday? What do you think you're watching? Honestly, you think somebody in the NFL, Cam Chancellor, or not even Cam Chancellor, not even to mention the name specifically, or Ray Lewis, or whoever it is, like, do you think they're going home and, you know, doing crossword puzzles for the homeless? Like, what do you think you're watching? What do you think you're watching? You're watching some of the most physical people on this planet be physical for your entertainment. So the idea that it may leak over into their normal life shouldn't shock you. The idea that Michael Vick would be dogfighting, I mean, it shouldn't shock you. DMX dogfights, it don't even hit people, dude. Like, so, and you are watching dogfighting, by the way. I mean, I'm sure you're going to rationalize it away with your fantasy football teams and your DraftKings and all that, but you're watching dogfighting. You're watching people fight over real estate for the sake of entertainment. At least they're getting paid. I mean, the dogs don't get paid. I mean, it's not like afterwards, if they lose, you know, they're going to get electrocuted or killed or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, at least they're getting paid. But you're watching dogfighting. I mean, that is what you're watching. It's a barbaric sport. And, you know, it's a moral conundrum, especially with America. It's the most popular thing in America. So it is a moral conundrum. And you could say America is probably morally bankrupt, which is probably why football is so popular. But no more kids, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, eventually, enough is enough. No more kids, man. Enough. Last thing I want to talk about. I seen this story, and this goes more to, like, who you know and what we think. Kim Davis, the woman that don't want gay people to get married. Where is she? In Kentucky? I don't know. I don't know where she rock out of, but she got to meet the Pope, which I guess is a cool experience. Like, I don't know much about the Pope personally. Like, the Pope is a guy, but, like, the Pope has a real name, but they just call him Pope. You know what I mean? It's like when you call him the president, but I say President Obama. They don't say, like, I guess they say Pope Francis. I think that's his last name, Francis. But they'll be like, oh, the Pope. So she got to meet the Pope, which I don't understand how she got to meet the Pope and no one knew about it. Like, what kind of security detail did this dude have? That he's like, was this dude just hanging out at McDonald's, you know, reading the paper, having a cigarette? And when Kim Davis walked in and got in the booth next to her and turned his back and they had a conversation, you know, like The Wire or Breaking Bad, huh? Is the Pope selling cocaine in the towers? Like, how did no one know Kim Davis met the Pope? They sat down and they talked it out. I don't know what they talked about. I'm going to guess gay people. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to guess that's what they talked about because, you know, it was the Pope. I mean, that's all she's famous for, you know? Like, that's all, like it's like if I were to talk to, like, Monica Lewinsky. What do you think we're going to talk about? I mean, you know, it's what you're famous for, you know? It's like, you know, and I know people probably want to talk about something else. Hey, you know, I do more than that. You know, no, dog, you're Turtle from Entourage. We only going to talk about turtle things. That's it. Don't tell me about Think Like a Man and all that. No, dude, we talking about Turtle. You are Turtle. That's all you are. So I guess she met the Pope and they dapped it out. I don't know if she got a picture or what, you know. Pope came out and said, you know, he didn't support necessarily what she did. But, you know, the Pope seems like a progressive dude, you know. And, you know, he's Spanish. It was the first Hispanic Pope, I think. You know, seems like a progressive dude. I mean, you have to be for some sort of progression if you're a minority. It's like if someone's, you know, talking to me. And I mean, you're not going to be shocked if I think like black people should be allowed to vote. Like that just comes with the territory, right? This progressive dude. I just wonder, like, you know, how did it end? Like, what did they meet? It was like an IHOP or like just his house? Like the security. Or maybe the security is so good we had no clue. Like maybe that's how dope it is. Maybe like, you know, he like changed clothes, did the thing like Joe Pesci in Casino. Like changed cars like 15 times and he had somebody in a costume stay in the hotel that looked like him. You know, all they did is switch hats, you know, because the Pope wears the pointy hat and they just switch hats. So, you know, he had on like a dope throwback, you know, a dope like snapback hat. And he just met Kim Davis, you know, in the parking lot at Denny's and they just wrapped it out real quick. So I have no clue. Just thought that was interesting. Pope getting out there in them streets. All right. It's good. Went a little bit long. Let's wrap up the show. So, this past Sunday, yesterday, show went good. Stand-up style comedy showcase. It went well. It's weird. It was like the first time I did a show during the football, and I worked the Comedy Underground in Seattle this weekend. It's kind of light audiences. I don't know if it's, you know, compete with football or not. I don't know. I probably just need to get better. You know, I'm probably like, you know, derelicting my duties, you know. Probably just dismissing, you know. I should promote better and promote more. I have no clue. But thanks to everybody that came out to the show. It was a really good night, man. I was glad I got all the comments on. Did a podcast before the show. I should have a link to that on my website prior to next week. I should have a link up to that, and you can check that out. Next month's show is November 1st. I'm headlining next month. That's right. I booked myself. I looked around, and I said, hey, who should headline? I looked in the mirror. Hey, what about you? So I'll be headlining November 1st. In the meantime, check out CourtneyShayWilliams.com for all updates. I'm going to have all the details for who's on the show. I got a big surprise. I'm going to unveil it on the podcast next week that I'm implementing in the show that's going to make it a lot better, hopefully. Also, Big Boy Big Graham's out. I'm going to try to review that next week to digest that a little bit more. So far, we've got that fire. So that's going to be it. Thank you for listening to the last show podcast. You take it easy.
The Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Toodaloo.